Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen. And our guest today is Jay Perrow from FirstScribe. Jay, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Morning.
Today, we're going to talk about the function, the actual function of developing a website and putting it up and getting it to work. If you were to meet with a new client today, can you just kind of walk us through that process? Where do you start and what do you talk about and where do you go?
You bet. Initially, a client will call me up and say, Jay, we need a new website. So then initially, I need to have a proposal due diligence meeting, is what I call it. Essentially, I need to get my arms around the scope, what are the goals, and start formulating what it's going to take to accomplish those goals. Then I go back to my rock pile, I put together a proposal, and I come back with a presentation. And in that presentation, I will walk through the proposal and show them what we're going to do, the timeline, and what it's going to take from a cost perspective to get the project done.
So you really have to sit down with the business owner or the manager and say, tell me about your business. What do you do? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you selling? How can this website help you do reach those goals?
Yes, absolutely. And then another thing we need to do in addition to that is a competitive analysis, because it's not just building the website. We're also planning how are we going to start marketing this website to make sure it's successful, because you can't just build a website nowadays and expect it to be successful unless you have a strategy in place to drive traffic to that website.
So you're looking at your customers' competition then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Occasionally, we'll see examples of clients that compete in lightly competitive arenas in which they can easily win, and we don't have to budget a whole lot of budget to promote the website because it's going to be fairly easy to win. That's particularly true if we're going after geographically specific areas. So if you're in a lightly competitive arena just here in the Twin Cities, much easier to win than on a more competitive term, for example, nationally.
So if I'm a local businessman and I come to you and I've got a half a dozen competitors in the state of Minnesota, you go out and take a look at my competitors' websites and see what they're doing? What's that entail, that competitive analysis?
Yeah, we will look at some of the competition that the client specifies, but more than that, we are actually more concerned about the competition as it appears in Google.
So you're more interested in the keyword stuff.
Absolutely. We'll figure out what keywords are people actually using to describe what you sell. And based on that, we will put it into a tool that shows us all the searches that people are using. So we can query Google, for example, and say, show me every term that had a specific key phrase in it. And then we know what the most popular terms are. Based on that, we can start putting them into Google and to see who the real competition is from a Google perspective.
So you're actually taking a look at the website and the search engine optimization and trying to visualize how much time and effort you have to put in it to make that website be number one.
That's right. That's right. Because when we talk to a client, it's not just about getting the client a pretty looking website. We need to have an effective online presence that generates sales, that drives leads, that does whatever is the goals that we specified initially.
Okay, so you have a strategy and a goal meeting, and you start defining some of that stuff, and then you get into the design area?
Yeah, well, what happens is if you guys sign the contract, and now we're going to build a website, we have what's called a creative kickoff meeting. So in the creative kickoff meeting, I will bring with me Rob Wagner, which is our lead graphic designer, and we're going to talk about what it is that this thing should look like, or what sorts of elements in general, what it should look like. Specifically, we will talk about who are your target market or markets. We'll talk about what sorts of images are appropriate. We'll talk about what sort of branding exists for the company, and does that need to be carried over to the website. We will talk about how do you want to portray your company identity online. And then we'll also get very much into usability and what's important on your website and build a very logical, what we call pull strategy, right on the homepage. And the reason I keep talking about the homepage is because the deliverable from this meeting is creative concepts, which is a big graphic image of what we think your homepage should look like. So we'll typically do two of these. Sometimes we'll do three. We'll present them to the client and say, here's your creative concepts. We want you to pick a winning creative concept and then make suggestions for refining it. And that's sometimes an interesting process because you can imagine there's oftentimes multiple cooks in the kitchen. So I'm becoming trained in saying, come to a consensus on changes that you want to make to your website creative concepts.
What if I don't know how I want to appear online? What if that's just like a completely foreign concept?
Well, then we will probe a little further. We will start talking about your clients and your prospective clients and ask you what's important to that particular target market. And based on that, we will come up with how you should portray your online identity.
Okay. So it's radically different than, say, a magazine or a paper advertising type of deal.
It is dramatically different. Okay. Yes. I mean, some elements stay the same, but the big difference is a web page is a user interface as opposed to just a static piece of paper that you can carry into the bathroom with you or wherever. You're at this computer. You typically don't read a whole lot of text. And if you next time you go to a web page and start browsing around, notice how you use the web. You're scanning, you're looking for that thing that's what you're looking for, and you're going to click on it. You're typically not spending a whole lot of time reading text until you drill down and get to that particular piece of information that you're looking for. So as we're doing our creative concepts, it's very vital that we make sure that we build in the usability piece, the user interface aspect of a website, which is, by the way, where many of these traditional print type companies fail when they build websites. They don't understand the usability piece.
Okay.
What I heard you say was on the creative, you're incorporating existing branding issues, logos, whatever other type of marketing and advertising that that firm has probably done in the past. You're taking a look at that when you're putting together your creative. So there should be on that basis a good starting point.
Yes, oftentimes there is. Occasionally there aren't. We're starting to see a lot of startup companies nowadays, and oftentimes, you know, they don't have that. So we are sometimes starting from scratch, which is fine. Other times we have, a more defined idea of what the look and feel should be. Sometimes when we deal with very large companies, they have 100-page style guides that tell us exactly how these websites are supposed to look.
That's what I was trying to get at with that image. Usually you think of those style guides, the branding, the messaging, but at the same time, it's now behavior, it's interactive. That's part of the image, right?
Right.
And how, okay.
So then you give them some choices and they pick a direction and then you go back to work and start developing the rest of the tool.
Yes, absolutely. So once that happens, then that brings us on to the next stage where we need to start building out this website. So to build out the website, after we have identified the look and feel that's going to be presented throughout the site, we're going to need content. Okay, that's the big piece that oftentimes slows us down, quite frankly. We don't write content for most of our sites. We need the clients to provide that content. With the larger companies, it typically happens fairly easily. But, you know, if we're doing a website, an example client of ours is a client that makes ultrasonic pregnancy detectors for farm animals. Well, there's no way we could write that type of text because we know nothing about that. You know,
so we're gonna make it interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we need to get the text. And as we spoke about previously, the text is very important. We need a lot of text if we're going to make this thing work in Google.
Okay. So then you're developing the site, building it out, adding the content that you get from the client and his advisors. And then how do you finish up that process?
Okay, there's more involved. Oftentimes, databases are part of websites. Any site that has a cart, an online store, for example, involves databases. Any type of site where you can submit a query and it delivers results back to you, that's a database integration. And there's lots of other database appy type things that we do. So those all need to have functional specifications where we figure out, okay, this is what it's going to do. Then the developers need to build it and it needs to have acceptance testing. We go through all that process. We start adding graphics then to all the other pages. So now that we have all the text, we got the look and feel, we need secondary page graphics. So we spruce up the whole website from top to bottom, put it up to a test server, and then we send it back over to the client for approval.
Okay, and from the very beginning, when you've done your keyword searches and all that, you're constantly dealing with the search engine optimization, are you not?
Absolutely, and that's what makes a really good web developer different from the kid next door. We will build a website that looks highly professional, that has a high level of graphic design, but also has the underlying foundations and pinnings so that it's going to perform in search engines.
So at the end of the day, it's going to work and work well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Can you give us an example of maybe a service firm that you've worked on and things that you have to do to maybe they have an existing website and it wasn't designed with using all the criteria you use and walk us through an example of that?
Certainly. I can think of many examples. One that first comes to mind is a major law firm downtown Minneapolis. Had approached us. They were partnering with a company that did their search engine marketing for them, who convinced them to reduce the site down to 16 pages. They were initially at about 40 pages. And when they did this, lo and behold, they fell off Google dramatically, and their traffic went way down because people weren't finding them in free searches. They retained our services, and one of the things we did is we were able to build their website up to, it's over 1,600 pages right now, all of them optimized with inbound links coming in, and now they are dramatically above traffic that they were before, and they're starting to see dramatic conversions as well. And when I see conversions, that means people are actually filling out the form and contacting them. And all of our work is not just in driving traffic to the site. It's also an effort to convert that traffic once it gets to your site. Because having a lot of traffic doesn't do you any good if that traffic doesn't contact you or convert in some positive success event.
So you essentially want to ask for the deal. You're coming to our site, let's get them in.
Absolutely. You'd be amazed at how many times people forget the call for action. So they get to your homepage. Here's the thing they're looking for. They click on it. They read about it. Yeah, it's great. But then there's nothing. They forget to contact us today to find out more or click here to buy this now.
So now what do we do? We've come to the site. We've looked at it. Fine. Move on to the next thing.
It's basic fundamental marketing, but it's oftentimes missed in web design.
Well, and this is a professional service firm. What was the next call to action for this law firm?
For this law firm, it was contact a lawyer today for a free, no obligation consultation.
Oh, okay. So something quite simple that's just overlooked because it's so simple, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes. And this one was interesting, too, because we did some fairly dramatic work with how we positioned that call for action on the page. And we were able to increase the conversion percentage by over 1%, which is dramatic.
So how did you do that? By adding a call to action to more than just the homepage? Add it to every page? How did you go about that?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I don't want to give away secrets here, but it involved something very similar to that. And we don't always get it right, but we have very, very good analytics. So when we do something, we measure. Did this make it better or did this make it worse? And over the years, obviously, we know 99% of the time what's going to work and what's not before we even do it. But because we have very advanced analytics running, we track what happens and we can do A/B testing to figure out, was it better or was it worse? And if it is better, we keep doing it and apply it to other pages. If it was worse, we reverse it.
What's a bad conversion ratio?
Zero.
Okay, that would...
Yes.
But, all right, that's awful. But is there kind of any analytics or any measures?
Well, it obviously depends upon what you're selling. Okay,
well, let's say a professional service firm, because you've got given an example of a company that gave what sounds like really bad advice, and it lowered the hit rate. So if I'm if I don't know if I've got a good web, you know, site developer or good analytics, and I asked for these measures because I wanted to get a new firm, what would I use as a measure for saying this is not good?
Generally speaking, I think a 2-3% conversion rate is sort of standard.
Okay.
But there can be dramatic variations depending upon what it is you're selling. If you're selling extremely expensive products online, you're going to have a much lower conversion rate than as opposed to the cheaper things.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of other factors that come into play as to who the company is. If you're a really trusted brand name, you're going to have a much higher conversion rate than somebody that nobody knows.
I would guess you get business owners or potential customers come to you and they just say, I've got a website, we've put a lot of money into it, it's just not doing anything, I'm not getting any customers from it, and how can you help? Well, I think that's a pretty easy thing to deal with, because you can sit down and say, it's not working, let's find out why and figure out how we can make it work.
Yes, that's correct, although it's sometimes a bit of a challenge, because it becomes a black box if they don't have analytics running.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things we do is we put analytics on it, and all we need is a statistically significant sampling of traffic, and we'll know in a hurry why it's not working.
Well, let's go back to this law firm. It's a pretty good-sized law firm with quite a few trial lawyers. I happen to know who they are, but let's talk about that. The analytics. What can you track?
Well, the analytics can track an extraordinary amount of data. For example, we know by key term what conversion percentages are. We know by state, we know by time of day. We know sections of the site that are most popular. We can identify that if somebody goes to a particular section of a site first, are they more or less likely to convert? And based on that information, we can sort of channel how we want people to move through the site for optimal conversion percentages. I mean, it's really quite spectacular. We can also analyze how many times do people typically come to the site before they convert? Are people coming back? Do people typically come to the site through a pay-per-click and then convert later by bookmarking the site? I mean, we know all this data.
Very deliberate.
Yeah, it's
extensive data on who's coming and who they're looking at, and I imagine you can even tell which attorneys they're clicking on when they go to look at information on attorneys.
Yes, and that's kind of a funny story, because one of the reports that we generate for this group is which attorney page is getting the most views, and it's created quite a competition over there between the attorneys.
And I've heard some of the inside stories. It is.
Now, do you think it's because of the service or the writing or the images?
I think it's which attorney took him out to lunch last. He knows how to make this thing work.
I'm not going to comment on that one.
Not guilty. Can you give us an example of a products-based firm?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Recently, we developed a website for a very large fitness equipment retailer here in the Minneapolis area, and actually they're regional. This company had an e-commerce site for over a year that had, as you said, Sam, a very bad conversion rate of zero. They had never sold a thing.
Oh, jeez. Sorry. Okay.
And that's one that's easy to figure out. It's not working.
No problem.
Right. So, and it was kind of an interesting story. When I first met with these guys, they had this list of things that they wanted, and it revolved primarily around web 2.0, social, user interactive, on and on and on. And I looked them straight in the eyes and I said, really, what do you guys want to do? And the answer obviously was, we want to sell stuff. You know, we want to make money. So I said, fine, to do that, here's what we need to do. We laid out a plan, a strategy, and we were able to close that deal, implement that plan and strategy, and they have a highly successful website now. And an interesting thing about this particular website is that most of the products are fairly expensive. You know, they're well over $500. And studies have consistently shown that in that type of a model, products that are over $500, a very high percentage, I've seen as high as 90%, will actually convert offline. So of your total conversions, 90% will actually happen offline. For example, if you're going to buy a car, you're not going to buy it online. You're going to want to sit in it and drive it first. So you're going to go to the dealership.
See it, feel it, touch it.
Yeah. It's very likely that you might look at it initially on the web, but to actually purchase it, you're going to go to a brick and mortar and buy that thing.
So the website or the web is part of the buying process.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, Sam. So we were able to take the site, generate a dramatic increase in sales. Of course, it's over zero, which isn't saying much, but you know, many, many thousands of dollars per month is what this website is generating. And we are also putting in kind of innovative features like the ability to go into a store from the website and actually reserve a time. So you see something you like online, you say, I want to test drive this in a particular store. You can do that all online. All the information's tracked, and it's a highly successful site.
This firm had multiple locations, retail locations already, and they were just not getting any sales over the internet. So they came to you and said, we want to sell more stuff, and we want to have a virtual store. So show us how to sell it using the internet. And if they want to pick it up at our multiple locations, we can arrange for that, or we can ship it, or we can do whatever we need.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What a great way to increase sales without having to increase your overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Other than putting Mr. Barrel on the payroll. I mean, but it sounds like he earns his pay. So what all did you do to help them increase that?
Well, it was the typical three things that we talked about in our previous podcast. It was, one, we built a larger site. We worked on the right text. And then we worked on the calls for action. And we have very good analytics running on this thing as well. So we know what's happening. And then we react to it. You know, we don't get the entire website perfect the first time out of the gate. It's a refinement process.
And it evolves, doesn't it?
Yep. And then we built the links coming into it as well.
If I recall some of your advice, it's the website needs to constantly change and constantly evolve and get better and better each day. It's not a static website.
Yes, correct. Google loves to see changes happening to your site. Google has a propensity to like current content, which is also a reason why we oftentimes are large components or proponents of blogs. We like to see our clients do blogs.
For business use.
Yes.
Can you explain that to me? Tell me on that. I'm not sold on blogs for business use, and I think a lot of business owners still are not sold on that.
Right. Well, blogs kind of have this hip kind of feel to them, and a lot of
that
more
leaves me out, Sam.
A lot of highly professional businesses are a little reluctant to go the blog route. The reason we like to do it and like to have our clients blogging is because Google loves blogs and will actually index and rank blogs pages much faster than they will your normal web page.
Ah.
So your blog site is part of your website?
Yes. Yes.
And this product-based company that you're talking about as an example, are they blogging?
Yes, they are. They're blogging, and many of our other clients are as well. We do blogs, and it's a nice way to get current kind of in-the-news type information out as well, because it doesn't require a web developer. They can just simply take some information and put it up on their blog, and it tends to rank very well, and it builds pages for part of your global search engine optimization strategy.
So how does that work? Somebody from the business goes onto the blog site on a frequent basis and types something in and gets it started? I don't know how it works.
Yeah, well, fundamentally, a blog is just a web page. The key to a blog is that it has a very easy-to-use web-based interface that allows anybody who can use a browser can contribute content to this blog as long as they have access privileges.
So it's a running discussion between whoever goes on the blog page?
It can be. It can go both ways. Typically, what we recommend is a one-way blog where the company is putting blog information out without responses being posted online. Because now if you allow that, people can put up some pretty bad stuff. So you probably don't want to allow that.
I can see that. So this is kind of a place where you'd put up like press releases and things.
Yes.
Indications of what's going on, something new with the company, and periodically you just add to the content.
Yes, that's correct.
Conversational tone so people access it and feel close to it.
Yeah, it has a much more, informal type feeling than the rest of your website.
As usual, you can figure out Sam's way ahead of me on this stuff, Jay. But I just want to make sure that the business owners are considering the things that are important and will help build traffic and build revenue and build customer base and so forth.
I wanted to ask a question about the conversion again, because what you were saying in the one example was part of the buying process, and you couldn't necessarily measure the conversion directly off of the website. However, it sounds like you could measure how much of an increase was generated at the different locations as a result of having the website if you have the website that's driving traffic to the sites, and then you have an increase in the sites, the physical sites, I mean, there'd be a way of measuring that, and the conversion may happen there, but it's a direct result of the website.
Yeah, that gets a lot more difficult. We can measure everything that happens online. As soon as they are not online and they walk in the door, we can't measure it anymore with our analytics. So mm-hmm. then you're relying on the actual brick and mortars to collect that data. But if we do get that data from the brick and mortars, we can actually import that back into the analytics for a complete ROI.
Because I would think that I would be thrilled to get that and give that back to you so that I could say, this worked, you know, got me to all these people to my new location. Or,
well, Jay, this has been pretty interesting, and it's shown me that a website isn't just something that you throw out there. It's something that you very deliberately develop, and it evolves. And the analytics part of it seems to be critically important, because you can learn whether or not what you've done is working. And then, of course, if you're starting from day one with the right keywords and trying to build the site properly to optimize your search engine optimization. This is way more complicated than it was 10 years ago, and very much more deliberate than many business owners maybe think.
Yes, that's true, Tom. The stakes have been raised. The competition is higher. And you really need to partner with a company that understands these types of things. It's just like with a doctor, with financial services, with whatever professional service you need. Partnering with somebody who really understands how to achieve your goals on your behalf is critical.
Well, Jay, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on this session of todaysbusinessradio.com. This has been very interesting and informative. I'm Tom Lyons. For my co-host Sam Zordage and our producer Georgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Jay Perrell from FirstGrive for bringing us up to date on the current state of the internet. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.